Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. We're talking about John the Baptist, and we're drawing from John the Baptist what Jesus said was true greatness. And we talked about the contrast last week, how the world characterizes greatness and how Jesus characterizes greatness, and it's quite opposite. So let's go back to verse 7, if you will. We want to capture that one again. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. You know, we had just left John. He was, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? He was in prison, been in prison for a year, and he began to have doubts for different things. And the Bible says, Jesus said in verse 7, and they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. And what that means is, John, just like a reed shifts in the wind on the side of the river, John was not like that. He was a man of strong conviction. And I believe today, in these last days, if you're going to call yourself great, you're going to have to be a person of strong biblical convictions and not compromise. Amen? And die to self so you may serve the only risen Lord, Jesus Christ. That's the first one, personal character. And then we're going to pick up in verse 8, if you will. What you went out to see, a man's clothes and soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. See, John the Baptist died to self. He died to his desires, and he wanted to do what God had called him to do, to announce the coming of the Messiah. And it was all about that. And today we talked about how the church is overcome with hedonism and how we got to dress like the world and act like the world and do the same things. Now, I want to pick up in verse 9. I want to look at the last two characteristics of true greatness: a privileged calling, and then thirdly, in verse 12, let me look right here, a powerful conflict. Okay, now let's pick up in verse 9. He, with his last, what did you go out to see? But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I will send my messenger. And he's quoting Malachi 3:1, before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath none risen a greater than John the Baptist outside of Christ. Not with saying he is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Notice first of all in verse 9, until Christ's first coming, if you will, until his own ministry began, there had been no person on the face of the earth greater than John the Baptist. He had looked at the task that God told him to baptize, preparing the world for the coming of the Messiah. He looked at it as a high task, and he held it with all sacredness, if you will. And he's called John the Baptist. I'm going to explain that in just a moment. John was chosen to announce and prepare the way for the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Yes, they went out to see a prophet, but Jesus said he's more than a prophet. The prophetic office began with Moses, and it went all the way, if you will, extended in the Old Testament to the Babylonian captivity, and John the Baptist was the last prophet. Today we have what? Pastors, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? Because we have the canon of Scripture here. Notice verse 10, he quotes Malachi 3:1. I send my messenger before thy face, and I will prepare thy way before thee. And he quotes this. I want you to notice that little phrase, before thy face. It means to be in front of or to precede. He will be the forerunner of the Messiah and prepare the way, the promise that Malachi gave. A privileged calling. What a privileged calling he had to announce the coming of the Messiah, right? And do you know that you have a privileged calling as well? Say, duh, really? You have a privileged calling today. You announce that the king has come, and the king is coming, and how to be in the kingdom of God through repentance and faith, repentance of your sins and faith in the Lord, right? And all the privileges that you have, a privileged calling to be the church, called out once. And after thousands of years, God's preparation and prediction, John was given the unequal privilege of being the Messiah's personal herald. Verse 11. Look at verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, you might want to underline that word, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He's talking about you, right? You are greater than John the Baptist, and I'm going to explain that in just a second. Again, he was the greatest human being who ever lived, born of a woman until that time. Risen, there has not risen among men. Underline that word. You know, in the Old Testament, when God would send a prophet for such a time as this, he arose a prophet. He arose a man. You know, and that's what he does today. We need preachers who will stand in the pulpit and tell their people what's going on in this world. Amen? And we need to not only teach them the Word of God, but let them know where we are in the doctrine of last things. And if God raises up a man, because he wants to use them to speak. Well, he often used prophets, but, you know, prophets speak things that new things, you know, from God directly. We expound what God has already written in his Bible, right? The office of prophet, I've told you over and over, is closed. It's done with. There are preachers, evangelists, and teachers who expound God's word. Some may wonder why he's called John the Baptist. Notice that in the latter part of verse 11. You know, we can say, well, why is he called John the Baptist? You know, he's not John the Baptist. Well, Jesus said he was John the Baptist. Am I not right? Okay, what does that mean? Now, I may lose some people here, okay? If I lose you, you stay till the end of the service, okay? Out of respect. John the Baptist was not, as we know, the start of the Baptist denomination. That didn't start in 1609. John the Baptist, he was John the Baptizer, okay? He was John the Baptist because he baptized. The word baptism, or Baptist, means to immerse. And that's why we call ourselves Baptists. We're Christians first, we're Baptists second, because we believe that the rite of baptismal, getting into baptismal waters, is by immersion, not by sprinkling, right? Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose to walk into the... Same way with us. When we come to Christ, it's just an identification that we're followers of Christ. It doesn't save you. You give a picture to the church that you're saved. You've died to your sin. Your sins are buried. You're raised to walk in the newness of life. And that's what baptism symbolizes, identification with Christ. That's why he's called John the Baptist, okay? I don't know. I got pastor friends that tell me that, no, he's John the Baptist because he was the first Baptist. And he wasn't. The Baptist movement didn't come about to 1609, okay? So that's who John the Baptist is. I hope we straightened out a lot of things right there, didn't we? All right, if you're not straightened out, I can't help you. But notice verse 11. Notice what an amazing statement Jesus made in the latter part of this verse, in verse 11. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? As great as he was, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Now, we may not have the task of calling and preparing the world for the coming of the Messiah, but in a sense, we do. He is coming back. Amen? But there's only one John the Baptist. There was only one person for that mission to announce. After 400 years of silence, God spoke about the coming of the Messiah who would come. And he had the task to do that. And you know what? His rewards in heaven are no greater than what your rewards will be if you announce the coming of the King. Amen? That's what he's saying. One commentator said this: though John was great, he was not born again until under the new covenant. You ever think about that? This is because he lived and died before the completion of Jesus' work on the cross and the empty tomb. We got more revelation than John the Baptist had, right? His job was to announce the coming of the Messiah. Our job is much more complicated. All that we know from the Bible, and we ought to be proclaiming it to this lost world that is dying and going to hell without Jesus Christ, right? So this is because he lived and died before the completion of Jesus' work on the cross and the empty tomb. And I question any of you to disagree with that, because John, He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." But there's nothing else in what he said in the Gospels that gives them any light as to the cross and what was going to happen there, right? Now, therefore, he did not enjoy the benefits of the new covenant. You and I are in a new covenant. Israel has a chance to be in the new covenant when they repent of their sins at the second coming when Christ comes. We have more revelation, and we may have more opportunity than John the Baptist. So that's true greatness. We enjoy being born again into the new covenant. The elite of this world can't experience that. The elites that think we don't have enough sense to get out of the rain, they got to tell us how to live, right? Hello, right? They think they got to show us every little thing. What all we got to do? We're so stupid. We're just deplorables, right? And if you're not a deplorable here this morning, you're still welcome, okay? But I want to tell you, the elites of this world think they got it. Salvation comes through knowledge. We're so ignorant. Well, we're not ignorant. We're ignorant, right? We're ignorant. And they can't touch what we have. Do you realize you have the greatest privilege ever? Even better than John the Baptist, is what he says. Let that sink in. So the first characteristic of true greatness is personal character. Boy, that's missing today, isn't it? And then privilege calling. Did some of you have your tongues cut out this weekend? All right. Privilege calling in verses 9 through 11. And then look at verse 12 through 14. There's a powerful conflict, okay? And John experienced that. And you will too if you proclaim the word of God. Look in verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets of the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, or Elijah, that which is to come. Now, let's break that down. That can be very complicated if you've not studied your Bible and you don't have study tools to look at and things like this. What do you mean, great violence? And people come into it with great violence. Well, after thousands of years, when John the Baptist came on the scene, he wasn't well liked. There were some Jews that repented, others did not. And so John generated great conflict wherever he went. Do you know, if you look in the Bible, Old and New Testament, people who were great for God were people who suffered, right? Who suffered for doing right. And John generated conflict wherever he went because, in fact, remember he spoke out about Herod taking adulterous his brother's wife and all that, and he spoke out against it, and so they cut his head off for that. That's why he went to prison. His message of repentance upset the status quo and caused violence and eventually his execution. This is why the world doesn't like the church, because they, first of all, they're lost. They can't understand the message of the cross. We're just ignorant people who believe in a myth, and we're just dumb. We need to get educated, right? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, there's something wrong with you, right? And that's the way they look at us. They have no concept because they're lost. And they come against us. They want to silence the church. That's coming. I like what the Supreme Court did. Overruled Newsom in California just the other day. And not limiting churches from meeting. Amen? Right now, we got more constitutionalists on the Supreme Court. Now, they don't always vote right. But I believe they will take a stand for our religious freedom. Right? And I believe that. And they ruled and trumped. Well, that's not a bad. I don't want to put Trump with Newsom. No way. But they went against Newsom and said, yes, these churches can meet, right? And so we got that happening. Suffering violence and the violent take it by force carries the idea of the oppressed being oppressed or treated violently, and violence brought onto the kingdom from the outside. I can't count the name of martyrs ever since creation. People that have been martyred for the cause of Christ and for the kingdom, right? They run into the millions, right? And if you ever get Fox's Book of Martyrs, read that, how they died. And they didn't die screaming, I want my lawyer. Oh, please, I want to get in touch with the Rutherford Institute. I want to get in touch with this. I want to get in touch. They died glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, whenever they were martyred. that killed John and Jesus, who are both the herald and the king. But at the same time, many will enter the kingdom. To be a Christian goes against Satan in the world. We enter it with violence, right? He doesn't like us. Satan and the world want to come against us, right? They want to destroy the church. And that's what they want to do. Verse 14, John the Baptist is Elijah that was promised. A lot of people get all, well, was John the Baptist Elijah? And he said Elijah would come before that great and terrible day. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. John the Baptist was not Elijah incarnated, but he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1, verse 17. He would be the forerunner. He came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Now, Elijah himself John the Baptist himself in John chapter 1, verse 22 denied that he was Elijah. So you can't get any plainer. John the Baptist was not Elijah, but he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah, right? Okay? I hope that straightens out some things right there, because there's a lot of people that believe that he was actually John the Baptist. I mean, John the Baptist was actually Elijah, okay? I have no excuse for messing up this morning because I just taught Sunday school and this, but the singing group's coming tonight. I ain't got to preach, so I don't have to mix my sermons together, right? But this is what he's saying here. No one can be any greater, right? John the Baptist. Courage, a man of courage and biblical conviction. Can I tell you today, there are church members, that I call them church members, all over in every church that are compromising, coming and going, right? And they're bowing down to Caesar, right? They're bowing down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember those three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and I will not bend, I will not bow, you know? I'm not going to worship that. He's not my God. But today you have Christians who are weaseling out of everything, compromising. And I'll go ahead and say it from the pulpit because I think they need to be exposed. Marcus and Keith put me on to the Plath family. Remember them? We had them here singing. I understand now they got a reality show on the Learning Channel. And raking in the money, compromising what they stood for when they stood up here and going the way of the world, right? Can I get another amen? All right, Wendell, you got competition over here. Pamela's about to outdo you over here. All right, so you're going to have to wake up and start grunting, okay? But it's happening all around. Christian singers compromise and go into worldly music. I mean, I can give you example after example. You know what I'm talking about. Christians don't stand for the true biblical convictions. This is, I can get around that. I can rationalize what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? And they don't stand for what they believe. Now, next Sunday, we're going to back up in Matthew chapter 11. We're going to go back to chapter 1. Okay, we done covered that, preacher, but I'm telling you, we're not going to expound it. And I want to look at four portraits of Jesus that are found in Matthew chapter 11. Okay? 1 through 30. Okay? If you're here today and you've never received Christ as Lord and Savior, you thought he was a myth, thought he was a good man, he was the very Son of God who lived a perfect, righteous life, came to this life as us, lived a righteous life so that he could be our sin substitute on the cross. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you're going to go to heaven any other way, you can't go except by Jesus Christ, right? By repenting of your sins and playing your faith alone in the work of Christ on the cross to get you to heaven. You don't have enough righteousness to go. You don't go because you're good. You don't go to hell because you're bad. You go to heaven because you receive Christ. You go to hell because you reject Christ, right? That's what it's all about, okay? We want to give you that opportunity. If God is dealing with your heart, we invite you to come during this invitation as our musicians come. Father, I pray this morning. We've extended the call. And then you and you alone can speak to the heart. Just come and maybe just come and say, you know, I'm a sinner. My sin has separated me from a holy God. I can't earn heaven. I can't win heaven. I can't get to heaven no other way than confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He came to do what you could not do. He died for all people who would come and believe on him. So today I'm going to ask you to come. Ask you to come forward and say, I want to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then I want to unite with this local New Testament church where I can grow as a Christian, where I can contribute my gift, where I can learn more about the Word of God, where I can be discipled. And one of the traits of a disciple is faithfulness. So, Father, today we want to extend that call, and you alone can speak to the heart. Have your will and way. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All right, if you would, get your hymn book. The office is open this morning. Get your hymn book. Turn to page 388. Page 388. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter in the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Me.